recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty.
Welcome in FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. I'm Dalton Orwig, and sitting approximately 6 feet to my left, Corey LeBounty. Hey, Corey, how are you this afternoon?
Doing great, Dalton. Always good to have that social distancing, my brother. Always good.
Always got to have it. And we'd be wearing our masks if it made us sound any better on the radio. Unfortunately, it doesn't. On the board, Ian Blair. Ian, hope everything's going well with you. And, well, that was fun while it lasted. 3 whole days of Major League Baseball. And 3 whole days before we had any issues. We're going to get into that a whole lot tonight and what's happening now with the Miami Marlins and players that they had test positive and what that means for the Philadelphia Phillies and the rest of the league. But we did have a great weekend full of actual live professional baseball. Going to get into that a whole lot tonight. Also going to talk a bit about the what's going on in the NFL as teams report to training camp this week. And we're starting to see some players announce that they are opting out of the 2020 season. There have been, I believe, 2 so far. One starting on the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, and one former Bama player that, well, he really hasn't been seen around the league much, so he's opting out from something he wasn't expected to play much in. So we'll get into that also quite a bit later. And, of course, we're going to discuss the Mike Tyson-Roy Jones Jr. bout that has now been scheduled for September 12th. I think we kind of made our feelings known about this when Tyson said he was exploring a return to the ring, but we'll break that down just quite a bit more coming up later in the show. But I do want to start with some more local news here. And really more local pontificating, I guess you could say, as we've been talking about whether college football would be played this year. And, you know, more importantly for a lot of us down here, whether high school sports would go on as scheduled this fall. And, Corey, we've been talking about this a lot over the last couple weeks. The AHSAA basically came out, I think, last week and said, we're going to go on as scheduled, and it's basically up to the school systems in each individual area as to whether they will be playing fall sports with us, but the AHSAA as a whole plans to play. But today we actually had the first 2 counties announce that they will not be, at least initially, starting the season on time. Greene and Sumter counties in Alabama said that they're delaying their fall sports for the first 9 weeks of the season. And, Corey, I just kind of wanted to get an update from you. You've got your ear to the ground. You know a lot more about what's going on locally in high school sports. What are you hearing? What are you thinking? We're going to have some high school coming up this year?
You know, first and foremost, I really hate it for those seniors in those 2 counties. And seniors that are affected, period, just like our spring sports were put to a halt. You've had student athletes who were able to go back June 1, get back with their teammates here in Mobile and Baldwin County especially, and now you're faced with a situation to where, moving forward, Dalton, I do feel that there will be a high school football season. Now, how many teams and how many fans will actually be allowed into the stands? Again, that's been left up to certain schools and their administrators. Now, there are 12 Mobile County schools that are involved, and it's going to be up to the superintendent as to whether football is played, and I think a decision will be made officially. But you're right, today was the official first day of practice, and 1 week from today they'll be able to put the pads on and get them to popping. So it's very important to make a decision moving forward on the high school football schedule, as well as volleyball, cross country, and swimming and diving also.
Yeah, and you look at some of the other states that have already made some decisions. California, I think they were the first shooter drop. If it wasn't them, it was Georgia, and they kind of went about it 2 different ways. California said, we are not going to be playing sports this fall. We're going to suspend the season, and the earliest we will start football, volleyball, cross country. I don't know what other winter sports they have in California. Who knows? It's like another nation over there. But they're pushing that back until at least December of this year. Georgia came out and said, we're playing. we're just going to wait 2 weeks from the scheduled start of the season. So Georgia was going to go on. Texas said they're pushing their sports back 1 month. They're not going to start until the beginning of September. And Florida, before Alabama made their ruling known, Florida came out and said, yeah, we're starting on time. We're ready to go. But got major, major pushback from a lot of the districts around the state. And I think they kind of ended up walking that back quite a bit last week. So as of right now, and I think Florida's probably going to make a little bit of a change. As of right now, I think that Alabama is the only state to say, hey, we're coming out and we're playing. We have seen some other states, I guess, in the Dakotas, I believe, some of the more rural Midwestern states that were even playing spring sports earlier this year. They were able to do that, and because they didn't have hot spots at that time. Now, things might be different now, but they were still playing spring sports, and I imagine Alabama will not be the only state to at least attempt to get off on time here. But you know that a lot of these coaches, a lot of these administrators, not only in high school, but in college ball, are looking at what's happening with the MLB right now and what happened with the Miami Marlins yesterday. I want to get into that in a minute, but first I want to talk about the good from this weekend. We had opening day on Thursday night, a couple games then. You had Yankees Nationals, and you had the Dodgers playing the San Francisco Giants on Thursday night. Then every team except for the Yankees and Nationals played on Friday, so it was good to finally see the Atlanta Braves get back out there. But really interesting, lots of parity already in this shortened season. According to ESPN stats and info, as of yesterday, 4 days into the season, no unbeaten teams left, and it's the first time since 1954, and back then there were only 16 MLB teams. That's how many are going to be in the playoffs at the end of this year. But it's been since 1954 that no team started 3-0, and that's exactly what we saw over the weekend. The Atlanta Braves yesterday absolutely put it to the New York Mets, 14-1, and the Braves ended up winning two of the three games in that series. The Braves hit four home runs as a team yesterday, and Dansby Swanson was really the MVP of that particular game. And we've got the game on over our shoulder right now as Atlanta started with Tampa. And for those that are recording the game, here's your 5 second warning: 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Dansby did it again. He's already hit a center field home run. So that's 2 in 2 days for Dansby in his first two of the year. But he had 5 RBIs last night to tie a career high. The shot heard, at least around the southeast last night, was Austin Riley, third baseman for the Braves, and they were already putting it to the Mets, but in the sixth inning, he hit an absolute rocket. Left field, I think they registered it at 458 feet, just absolutely smoked the ball. It hit the decking going into the third deck, so just below the third deck is where that ball went. Massive home run for Austin Riley, and as I just said, Braves, they're playing Tampa, first in Tampa tonight and tomorrow, and then they're going to move things back to Atlanta, and the Rays will play the Braves in Atlanta for 2 days, and they've gotten started on that right now. Braves lead 1-0. Also, some games yesterday, the Rays beat Toronto 6-5 in 10 innings. Tampa won 2 of 3 against the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays were hoping that they would be able to play in a major league ballpark this year. But that's not going to be the case. At least for their away games, they'll be playing in major league parks. But for their home games, we mentioned last week, Canada kicked Toronto out of Canada, said it's not safe for you to play your games here. And 3 days into the season, that's looking like a pretty smart move by Canada. But Toronto, they're going to have to play at their AAA home in Buffalo. So that'll be where they call home this season. They won't have their first home game until, I believe, Wednesday this week. But they ended up losing to the Rays yesterday. The Cubs beat Milwaukee 9-1 yesterday. They won 2 games in the 3-game series. San Francisco, surprisingly, after looking like absolute trash on Thursday night, they split their 4-game season series against the Dodgers with a 3-1 win yesterday. And the Phillies, they hit 4 home runs yesterday, but fell to an already shortened Miami squad 11-6, and Marlins took 2 of that 3-game series. But this is where the trouble begins. 4 days into the season, we now have 12 Miami Marlins that have tested positive for COVID-19, and 2 of the coaches. They were scheduled to play their first home game tonight against Baltimore. That obviously has been canceled. So has tonight's game between the Phillies and the Yankees. That was going to be played in Philadelphia. Because the Phillies played Miami yesterday, they're waiting for their tests to come back in. But that's two games on tonight's schedule that have been scratched. They're also looking at possibly scratching tomorrow night's game with the Yankees and the Phillies. And this is a big deal. You know, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, he met with the presidents of the teams today. It was a scheduled meeting anyway, but they basically said, we're going to keep trucking on. We're going to try to play this season. They said they're going to, quote, redouble health directives and also reinforce on-field behavior prohibitions like high fives and things of that nature. But we're already seeing it. The taxi squad is going to be put into full effect here, where players were able to carry more than they normally do. Miami, who's already not a very good team, they're going to have to dig in and find out what they have in their depth. But, Corey, we'll talk about this coming up after the break. There's not much time in the season.
No.
They gave each team 6 days, and this is COVID-related, but we're going to be talking about weather a lot coming up later this season. They've only got 6 days to make up games this season, and at the end of the year, only one day between the end of the regular season and the now 16-squad playoff. This is trouble for the MLB. I know that college is looking at this. Lots of sports that weren't intending on having a bubble, but playing anyway, we're all looking at this. So we'll continue to talk about this when we get back. You can give us a call, 251-343-0106. Also, we'll get into what the Bama boys did out on the golf course this weekend. A good weekend for the Tide on the PGA Tour. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Sports Talk to start your week. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. And what was that about Lou Williams? You had some funny joke? Easy, Corey. Go easy on the guy. Well, all right, we'll talk about Lou Williams and the strip club adventures that he had over the last week and what that means for the LA Clippers. But I want to get back to what we were talking about here with baseball. And by the way, Braves looking fantastic at the plate so far this year and in the outfield. Lots of speed. Looks like Marcell Ozuna was a great pickup for Atlanta at least 3 games into the season. He kept them in it, actually won the game for them on Saturday night. So it's good to see that paying off. Ronald Acuna Jr., though, if you've been watching, seems like he's been pressing a little bit these first few games. He's got a heck of an arm in right field right now, and he's playing some great defense, but maybe pressing a little too hard as he tries to keep up with some of his teammates there at home plate. But yeah, I love the Atlanta Braves. I would say they are my MLB team, although I try to be objective, you know, viewing sports through the lens of a broadcaster. But sports are important enough to me that I base my television viewing habits and payments around them, right? So a lot of people have been talking about cutting the cord for the last 5-6 years. It's become bigger and bigger as we get further along. And, Corey, I finally did it last year. I cut the cord and decided to go straight YouTube TV. And it was great. They had all of the regional Fox Sports networks, so I was able to watch the Braves. I was able to watch my favorite hockey team, the Nashville Predators. They also play on Fox Sports South, or Fox Sports Tennessee in their case. And things were good. But then YouTube had a bit of a contract disagreement with, I guess, those Fox Sports regionals, whoever owns those. And YouTube TV, who I had no problems with at all, it's great. It records as many hours as you want to record. They dropped the channels of the teams that I watch. So no more Atlanta Braves, no more Nashville Predators. I tried to skirt the system and watch the games that came up on ESPN, but they blacked those out if they were available locally. And I was in a pickle. So picked up Hulu Live, who still had them, and then my wife said, you know, why are we paying for two online TV subscriptions, and had to pick one and cancel it. And then same thing here. I made it. There were no sports for a long time. I went back to YouTube TV, and now I'm paying for Hulu again. So first world problems for sure, but trying to find the sports and the teams that you want to watch, a little bit of a problem when you're cutting the cord. So I just wanted to put that out there. I know we've talked before about possibly cutting the cord.
Yeah, it's a situation to where, you know, if you're at Xfinity Comcast, you just turn to 77 Fox Sports South,
yep,
and you watch it. But if you do cut the cord and you're in a situation, you're always, like you said, Hulu Live and also YouTube TV if their blackouts are there. And if not, there's always ways to where you can go ahead and find a way to circumvent that system. And
that's what I hear.
That's always a possibility.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Somebody who's watched every single big fight over the last year. I don't know how you do it. Your pockets just keep growing. All right, so let's get back to this Major League Baseball situation. And I think we all thought that this might be coming, but maybe not 3 days into the year. And I'm talking, of course, with the Marlins having now 13 players and two coaches that have tested positive for coronavirus. They're already canceling games. Only 6 days that are scheduled as off days for each team. So if the Phillies, which they're talking about, they've already scratched tonight's game against the Yankees. They're talking about scratching tomorrow night's game against the Yankees. Well, that's two games they've got to make up, and that's two of the 6 days already gone for the Phillies. I don't see how that's going to be a possibility. I don't see how every team is going to get their 60 games in, and not a problem when you're a team that's not going to make the playoffs. But this year, there will be more teams than ever in the playoffs. Just last week, the MLB said they're moving from a 10-team playoff to a 16-team playoff, so more than half the league is getting in. That will be an issue as they try to make these games up down the road. But Corey, what I want to talk with you about is, what does this mean for college football? Because you know that the conference commissioners are looking at this, the NCAA Board of Governors or whatever, as useless as they are anymore, they're looking at this. This isn't a bubble situation. Major League Soccer has been playing in the bubble, and they've been able to kick teams out that have been testing positive and postpone games. That's fine. They've had more issues than the NBA or the NHL, which are also going to be restarting their seasons this week in bubble situations. Both of those leagues have come out and said, all right, we continue to test, and now we have zero positive tests on any team in our league. And they're going to get started, and I think they're going to do pretty well this season. I think they're going to continue to play, test constantly, quarantine the guys that are testing positive, and that's great. That's what we all want to see. But with Major League Baseball, they tried to set up a bubble-like situation in Arizona. The teams weren't having it, or at least the players weren't having it. So they went on about their season. They were traveling to stadiums, trying to get in every single one of these games. And even without fans, you'd think that they were taking more precautions than your average person. But even then, this was completely, I guess, unavoidable at this point. You've got Marlins players that have tested positive. It's the same thing for college football, and on a lesser level, the NFL, because the NFL has put more precautions into place. But that's going to be a lot like Major League Baseball, too. If you're a commissioner, or if you're a coach for a college football team, what does this MLB situation now mean to you?
If you're a commissioner in MLB, again, you want
to... I'm talking about in college football.
In college football, in regards to MLB, you learn from the mistakes. That's why I mentioned MLB first, because if you're the commissioner in college football, you're sitting in... You would want a czar of college football, just the one particular person that could delegate what you're going to do. But that's why you see the SEC waiting, Dalton. I mean, you're looking at the first week in August, to where the first week in August, which is next week, you're 1 month away from those Labor Day kickoffs. So you have a four-week turnaround to where you could see the trend continue to spike, or you could continue to see it level off. You're ultimately concerned because we mentioned week by week, we find another conference who cancels and puts a dent in your schedule. And your fans and everybody else likes to be prepared. But at this point in time, I just think because it changes on a day-to-day basis, Dalton, that at this point in time, I know that the SEC is going to wait until the last moment to make that decision. And it's going to affect, again, there are hot spots that are going to affect some universities and colleges more so than others. And you're not able, with students getting back on campus, you're going to have to ask them to sacrifice a whole lot because, again, college students, we know, are not going to live in that bubble. They're just not going to do it.
No, it's impossible.
And they're not going to want to do it because you want to experience being young, getting out, going to parties, and being interactive with your peers. So that's a huge concern in regards to when it hits. But once that first week, if it does start rolling, I think the same thing applies to high school athletics. Once you get that ball rolling, that's what you're going to want to see. I don't think once you get that ball rolling, it's not going to stop. It's going to continue to go on, and they'll find a way. If both teams are affected tremendously, they'll either go ahead and knock that one out of the books and take it off of the schedule and not punish either one of those conferences for teams in the conference from playing each other. they're going to find a way to get it done.
Yeah, and I know the Big Ten and the Pac-12, the first two Power 5 conferences, and only two to this point that said they're only going to play conference only, they're both planning on playing 10-game conference only seasons. With the SEC, of course, they play fewer conference games per year than the rest, but I love to mooch a good idea. I love stealing a good idea, and still the best that I've heard to this point, Corey, is yours. And I've been an optimist throughout this entire thing. I've said they will be playing college football this year. Somebody asks, you know, are they going to go conference only? And I'm talking about a month or 2 months ago. I'd say, no, they're going to play. There's too much money involved in these big games. I think that they'll play. I find that optimism being dialed back day after day, and I really do think that when it comes down to it, the SEC will eventually move to a conference-only schedule. And that's why I say, with what's going on in the MLB right now, your idea of spacing these games out 2 weeks at a time to where there's 13, 14 days between games seems to make the most sense to me, especially when you're playing eight conference games. And the SEC, they, you know, they might change that if they go conference only. They might add a couple games onto each team's schedule. But to me, it still makes sense. If you've got eight games, 16 weeks in the season, I know it doesn't seem like that, but there really are about 16 weeks that these teams take so many byes, then what's keeping you from playing every other weekend? Maybe you load the schedules for the other conferences on the opposite week. So maybe three of the Power 5 conferences play 1 week, and then the next week you have the Big 12 and the SEC playing. That way there's always football on TV. And I know this would be a big problem with the television distributors, these guys that have paid billions and billions of dollars to air this. But really, if you've got 2 weeks between games, if you've got players that test positive, and the NCAA, the SEC, they are not testing players as often as these pro sports leagues. It's just unattainable. There's too many guys. There's too much money involved. They're testing as needed. They're not going to be able to catch all these, especially by the time these players pass it along to their team. Look how fast this went through the Miami Marlins roster. I mean, we're talking about half the team at this point that's tested positive. Same thing will happen with college football. If they space it out and play every other week, then at least you've got 13 days for guys to possibly come back negative. You got time to plan. I love that idea.
Dalton, we've gone from a 14-day quarantine now down to 10. So you're seeing that two-week gap being able to be made up.
Yeah, no doubt. What do you think? Give us a text, 251-343-0106. Coming back, we'll talk NBA and NHL as they prepare to start their seasons again, and also the NFL with new rules for coronavirus. More on that coming up. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. And, you know, I didn't get into this in the headlines like I wanted to, but props to the Bama boys out there on the golf course. And you know it pains me to say it, Corey. I don't have lots of Tennessee balls to root for out there on the course, but this Alabama golf team has been putting out some winners over the last decade, and some of them win more often than others, like we saw this weekend. But Justin Thomas, of course, he's ranked number one in the FedEx Cup standings, and, well, he's somewhere in the top five of the international rankings for best golfer in the world. I think he's third, maybe second. But it was another Bama golfer who won this weekend, the 3M Open in Minnesota, and Michael Thompson wins by two strokes. It was his second career PGA Tour victory, and it only came 7 years after he first won. That is a long time to wait between wins, but I don't think the paycheck stinks regardless, because I think a $1.3 million check written to the winner.
Not too shabby.
Not bad for 4 days' work, although it was more like 7 years' work for Michael Thompson. So that was big, and it moved him from 151st to 39th in the FedEx Cup standings. But he wasn't the only one, and this a local guy, Robbie Shelton, who went to high school right down here in Mobile at St. Paul's and went to golf at Alabama. He ended up tied for third with eight other golfers. He finished three shots behind Thompson at 16 under par, and it's the second time that he's finished third. That's a career high for Shelton. So great news for the Bama fans out there that also follow the PGA Tour. Up next, the PGA Tour keeps rolling on. They're heading to Memphis for the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. And we've got some better golfers in the field this week than there were last week. John Rahm, the pre-tournament favorite at 10-1 odds. Behind him at 11-1 odds, Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas, who we were just talking about. And then at 12-1 odds, Bryson DeChambeau. So getting some good guys back out there on the tour, as some of them took a week off, but pretty outstanding exciting to see Alabama pull through in the 3M Open this week. A couple other news headlines here, and then we'll get into the real news, and that's Lou Williams and his strip club adventures over the week. Pretty big NFL news. On Saturday, I think it was announced, Jamal Adams, the disgruntled New York Jets safety, has been shipped off just like he wanted to be, and he's heading to Seattle to play for Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. And a lot of people saying that the Jets got a king's ransom in this trade. I would say let's wait until those drafts, because we're still talking about the Jets here and they have to make good decisions. But they get in return from Seattle for Adams, 2 first-round picks, 1 next year and 1 in 22. Also a 2021 third-round pick and a decent starter at safety in Bradley McDougal to kind of take over that role that Jamal Adams played. But 2 first-round picks, not too shabby. That's what we saw Khalil Mack get from the Las Vegas Raiders as they shipped him off to Chicago. But Seattle, remember, good team, really good quarterback, and by adding Jamal Adams, they only get better. They're not going to be picking in the first half of the round of the of either first round next year or the year after, unless something awful happens to Russell Wilson. So those are going to be later round picks. And Jets fans, I know they can convince themselves that this is a good move, just like any fan of any team once their team makes a big decision like this. But I never see the good really in shipping off good players, Corey, regardless of what you get in return. If what you're getting in return is still hypothetical, you don't know what's going to happen with those picks.
Yeah, the good thing for Seattle is I think they're a win-now franchise.
Yeah, they always are.
And it's obvious that you want to kind of rekindle the Legion of Boom type of defense that they once had in their Super Bowl two-year run. But when you start talking about the Jets, they unload and start looking at Le'Veon Bell and also C.J. Mosley as being their two largest contracts that they sit there on top of. Mm-hmm. And to me, to be honest with you, Dawg, I think the Jets do come out a winner in this situation because they probably were not going to be better than 8-8 this year with them. But now you have an opportunity to go ahead and get guys who you know can contribute immediately and get them in your franchise in those first-round picks.
Yeah, and it seems that situation had become irreparable there between Adams and the Jets. He wanted a new contract, still had 2 years left on his rookie deal, but we're talking about maybe the best safety in the game, and he's seeing all these other guys that are 2 years remaining on their contract or 1 year remaining to get these large extensions. Just look at Patrick Mahomes. I know Mahomes is the best player in the league, and the Chiefs were not going to let him go, but he just signed record-breaking contract. Adams was not, I don't think he was looking for a 10-year deal worth over $300 million, and that wasn't and will not be what he gets. But when he didn't get what he wanted, he kind of forced his way out. And this shows that players actually do have quite a bit of leverage. They always say that NBA players have the most leverage, can kind of pick and choose which teams they end up on. You said it. The Jets were probably going to be 8-8 this year. Adams worked himself as much harm as it might have done to his personal image. He worked himself from a team that was not going to be very good to a team that is consistently competing and always in the playoffs. That's good for Adams that he ends up there. But it'll be interesting to see. He's no Earl Thomas as far as the way they play the game. I mean, both of them play all out. But Adams is a bit more of a in-the-box kind of guy. He can certainly defend, but he led the Jets in sacks last year. And that goes to show how bad the Jets were on defense that a safety led them in sacks. But he'll probably be kind of playing that same role with the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, you know the Legion of Doom is going to come up whenever you add somebody great to that secondary. So Adams moves on from the New York Jets to the Seattle Seahawks and will probably get to play in his first actual important games at the end of this year as the Seahawks contend for a playoff spot. Also in some NBA news, a coach we've heard a whole lot about over the last 7 years now has a new team. Tom Thibodeau heading to the New York Knicks. They agreed on a 5-year deal over the weekend. Now, he went to Minnesota after 5 years with the Chicago Bulls, had a great run with Derrick Rose at point guard in Chicago. Of course, there were some hurt feelings there. As our friend Ian here mentioned, Thibodeau likes to work his players down. He will play you as many minutes as he can get out of you night in and night out. But now he's heading to New York Knicks where they have their own problem. A lot like the New York Jets, players seem to always be unhappy playing for that organization. Thibodeau heading to the Knicks. He's got a career record of 352 and 246, which sounds bad just looking at it. And even though he took Chicago to the playoffs each of the 5 years he was there, they didn't really make much noise after that first year. You think this is a good move for the Knicks and for Thibodeau?
Considering where the Knicks franchise has been, I think that it's better than what they could have gone with Jason Kidd. Again, Thibodeau is an old school coach, and it just depends on what his roster consists of. Does it consist of young guys? Does it consist of veterans? Is it a blend of both? Because, again, if I have that old school mentality, I probably don't have a problem with as much as he's going to have his players put in.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of like a boot camp situation, right? It seems like that's the coach that Thibodeau is becoming. You go in, you extreme home makeover a team and put them in the situation where they can compete. But the way he works with these players, he kind of wears them down and kind of strains that. It seems that he strains those relationships each year that he's there longer. So maybe he's the guy to turn around the Knicks franchise and put them in position where, I don't know, maybe down the road they hire a Jason Kidd to help put him over the top. But Thibodeau heading to the Knicks. The Knicks, of course, not playing in the shortened 2020 NBA season. They did not have a good enough record to be one of the 22 teams invited. And as we watch baseball, they've gotten underway this last week. This weekend, we have NBA and NHL restarting their seasons. The NBA, they're still scrimmaging right now. There's several games that are going off tonight, I believe. Pelicans are actually scrimmaging the Bucks tonight at 7. So good to see the teams back out there on the court. But they're going to get started at the end of the week and restarting those the seeding games as they finish out the regular season and go into the playoffs. And the talk has been about the bubble. I guess they're getting better food there for the NBA players, because I have not seen as much moaning and griping about the food situation. So thank God somebody's feeding our starving NBA players down there in Orlando. Zion, of course, left the bubble about a week and a half ago. He had an emergency family issue. The good news for Pelicans fans, Zion continued to test and test negatively while he was gone, which means as soon as he came back, he only needed to quarantine for 4 days, and that happened on Saturday. Zion returned to the team, so he is right now in the midst of his 4-day quarantine. He can rejoin, and I think they said he's going to practice with the team on Wednesday, just in time for them to start the season against the Utah Jazz on Thursday night. Great news for the Pelicans that Zion is back in the mix.
It really is. I mean, you were wondering what the family situation was. They didn't really talk about it. But in this situation, if you are a Pelicans run, making that Pelicans playoff push, every game Zion needs to be in uniform for the New Orleans Pelicans, and you're glad to have him back, only serving a 4-day quarantine instead of an extended 10-day quarantine.
Yeah, and for somebody who's only played 19 games with the starting squad this year, already the most important player on the team. I think most people would tell you they stand a much, much better shot of getting into the playoffs with Zion on the court. And that brings us into another quarantine for another player. L.A. Clippers' Lou Williams, who also, much like Zion, he had to leave for a family issue, or at least he said, and I do believe that he left the bubble to go to a family funeral, just like he said. But the problems got started, Thursday or maybe Wednesday of last week, and a rapper, Jack Harlow, a new rapper out there on the scene, posted a picture on his social media hanging out in a strip club, Magic City, to be specific, in Atlanta. And he basically said, look who I ran into. And he's sitting there with the one and only Lou Williams, who, remember, had left the NBA bubble to attend a family funeral. And Harlow pretty much immediately deleted the social media tweet or TikTok or whatever he was on. But that wasn't quick enough for the internet. Everyone saved that image. And Harlow tried to play it off by saying, oh, that was an old picture. I was just reminiscing. I miss my buddy Lou Williams. The guy had a mask on in the picture, an NBA-issued face mask, while he sits in the strip club. So, okay, red flag right there. It clearly was not an old picture. Everyone knew that. So Lou Williams' excuse when he gets back to the bubble, I don't think he tried to hide it and pretend that he wasn't at Magic City, but he said, I wasn't there for the entertainment. I was there to pick up delivery food, or curbside pickup. We're talking about a guy who actually has a dish named after him at this strip club. If I remember this correctly, the Lou Williams Lemon Pepper Barbecue. I don't think he was there for the barbecue. He said he was picking up wings. So, Lou Williams, to recap, went to a strip club, not to browse, not to be entertained, but to pick up food. and wings in particular. Are you buying this or selling this to copy another popular sports show?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to do a little bit of both, Dalton.
Okay.
I'm going to buy it in the fact that he really loves his wings and things.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to buy it. You know, and I'm going to buy it that he was tired of the NBA quarantine food that he was receiving. And these lemon pepper wings were much better than what he was receiving at the hotel as far as from a food standpoint.
Oh.
I'm going to sell it because, you know, Dalton, when you're in a situation like he is, you can't be selfish, and you have to know this age of social media to where somebody somehow is going to see you and is going to publicize this. And, you know, NBA security was definitely going to find out about it, going to question him about it, which they did do. And now you're in a situation to where he is possibly on a 10-day quarantine.
He is.
Because of his wings and things addiction.
Yeah, he's on 10-day quarantine, unlike Zion, who only got the 4 days, which means that he will miss at least the first couple games of the Clippers restart against the Lakers and the Pelicans. So I guess, you know, good news for the Pelicans. They don't have to face Lou Will coming up once the season restarts next week. But the food, you're saying because the food is so bad in the NBA bubble that it only makes sense he would get his food from a strip club.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, Dalton, it's a situation to where he doesn't like Hooters wings.
Clearly.
So these did nothing, you know, but enhance the taste buds for him in this situation.
Okay. All right. Well, you heard it here first. I guess Corey's saying the food at Magic City, something to delight in. I personally, I don't even know, never heard of it before this week. Never heard of Magic City in Atlanta. I promise. Wink. Okay, so anyway, Lou Williams out for 10 days, and I think we're going to keep seeing this with NBA players, other athletes, student athletes. It's tough
stepping
to stay
outside.
Out.
Yeah, you're right.
They're going to get out. All right, when we come back, let's talk a little NHL and NFL. The Washington football team, the Washington football team, no longer the Redskins. Coming up, Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Wrapping up this episode of Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty with you on this Monday night. And Corey, let's talk about a little goodwill from athletes. We know that the good ones, anyway, make millions and millions of dollars during their career. And I saw a headline today, Kyrie Irving, of course, of the Brooklyn Nets, who is not with the team as they restart the season in the Disney World bubble. Well, he's helping pay it forward a little bit here, committed $1.5 million to players in the WNBA that sit out. And I'm not sure the entire story with the WNBA, but obviously they make much less money than NBA players. I don't know if the teams were not going to supplement their income if they decided to sit out. And when you're talking WNBA players, of course you've got to add in the chances that, and I know most not pregnant during the season, they've got only so long in their careers, and most of them push back having children, but that's something to kind of keep in mind. But Kyrie Irving donating $1.5 million to help pay some of these WNBA players. Not sure how it came to that. Not sure why some of the WNBA owners weren't able to help out a little bit more, and maybe they are. I don't know the full story, but it's good to see that. And also very good to see Drew Brees and his wife, Brittany, continue to do goodwill in the state of Louisiana. And remember, just a couple months ago, they donated $5 million to help fight coronavirus in Louisiana. And news came out today, they're donating another $5 million to help build Louisiana healthcare centers. And Drew Brees, already, of course, a hero for so many Saints fans. But this is the kind of thing that happens off the field that makes you legendary. When players do this and give back to their community with, I mean, we're talking $10 million from Breeze over the last 4 months. That's absolutely huge and great, great thing to do.
When you start talking about his awareness to charitable foundations prior to, you know, this upheaval and uproar about the protesting of the national anthem, he was already very generous. Hurricane Katrina came in, and that's what made him a king in that community.
Mm-hmm.
His giving back and being a leader at that point in time. But now he and his wife continue to bring awareness and continue to donate to great causes. So kudos to him and Kyrie Irving stepping up for his sisters in the WNBA.
Well, it's looking like Drew Brees will play if there's an NFL season this year. And what we're starting to see are players opt out of this upcoming 2020 season. The first to announce that he would not be playing is Kansas City Chiefs guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. I probably completely screwed that up because I'm working off memory here, but he is a doctor, actually, so you got to call him Dr. Tardif, and I guess he's been working as an orderly in Canada during this coronavirus pandemic, and he basically said from what he has seen working in hospitals that he could not ethically line up to play a game that he loves. Now, it is his moneymaker there, and this guy, I mean, he's a doctor. He's got options outside of football, but he said he could not put himself or family members or other people at risk just from what he has seen working as a doctor or as an orderly up there in Canada. And I'm not sure how many players will sit out, Corey. Chance Warmack, former Alabama lineman, today he announced that he would be opting out of the 2020 season. Now, what's different between Duvernay and Warmack is that Warmack actually sat out last season and is on the final leg, if you want to call it that, of his career. So maybe not as surprising to see him take a step out, but how many more players are we going to see decide not to play the 2020 season? And I think the way that the owners worked this out with the Players Association is they said that you can opt out, and every league is saying this, that you don't have to play this year if you're uncomfortable playing, but that they will front you $150,000 from your contract. You don't get whatever you were due this year, but they will give you $150,000 and take that out of your future earnings. I also think that they keep your contract. So if you were signed for 3 years and 2020 was going to count towards one of those years, then they just start that 3 years up again next year. That's the way I understand it. Not sure how many more players will opt out, but those are the first two to make that announcement. Somebody who's not opting out during the pandemic, and we have to get to this during the final minute of the show, because the news is just too big not to. Mike Tyson last week announces that he is returning to the ring, kind of. It's an exhibition match, and it's 8 rounds. But he's going to face off against Roy Jones Jr., the Pensacola legend. They're going to fight in an 8-round exhibition match. It's scheduled for pay-per-view on September 12th, and I know that Corey will find a way to watch that fight.
Yes, sir.
Dig into the pocket to pay for that pay-per-view. But Tyson and Roy Jones back in the ring. Your thoughts on this, Corey Labounty?
I'm glad that they're using headgear, but I hope that Roy Jones uses his hand speed and doesn't decide to get too close to Mike Tyson, because if he does, headpiece or not, Roy Jones will find himself looking up and trying to figure out how he got down on the canvas.
He still has that power, Mr. Tyson does, but my early prediction is that Roy Jones Jr., he's been fighting more recently than Tyson. The hands are still there. The footwork is there. I think Roy Jones Jr. takes this pretty easily. All right, that does it. Another episode of Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up next, Sweet Home Canabama with Jennifer Boozer.